Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, tonight, I'm going to minister a short message. Remember, I told you, blessed are the short-winded. They'll be invited again. But maybe if I be long-winded, I may not be asked, you know. But anyway, I'm not going to be long-winded. Praise the Lord. I'm going to minister a message tonight. It's a call. It's a call for devotion to corporate prayer. Didn't get too many amens. This is a... It's a call for devotion to corporate prayer. Amen. And then, you know, I just don't think there's just going to be another little message on prayer. I mean, you know, we have Donald mentioned on prayer and about the house of prayer. And, you know, prayer is so important. Prayer is so important to the church and for the church. But, you know, somewhere in our minds or our thinking, our mindset, we really have not put the emphasis on prayer that should be placed on prayer. Because, I mean, God defined his own house. He said, even Isaiah, my house shall be called a house of prayer. He says, and then in New Testament, for all nations. And then in Isaiah, he says, I will make you joyful in my house of prayer. We have a lot of joy when we pray together, don't we? Yes, we do. We have a lot of joy when we pray together. And so that's what we're talking about. But it's a call for devotion. I wrote down the definition for devote. Devote means to commit to by a solemn act. It means so we commit to it. To give or direct time or effort to. I mean, you know, it takes effort to come to the house of prayer and to pray. It does. It takes time and it takes effort. It does. You know, and our flesh doesn't like it. But I mean, no, God likes it. God likes it. I'm telling you, God likes it. Your flesh doesn't like it, but God likes it. Because when we come together to pray, I'm telling you, things are getting ready to happen. Things are happening in the spiritual realm when we come to pray. And then I also looked up devotion. Devotion is the state of being passionately dedicated and loyal to. And, you know, for something that you love or you need to love to do, you know, it's going to take the Holy Spirit. I mean, because, you know, we can preach and teach and do all, you know, and kind of prod and all that. But it's going to take the Holy Spirit to show us the need for prayer. It takes the Holy Spirit to show us the need for corporate prayer. It is. It takes the Holy Spirit. And you've got to want to do it. You've got to want to. I remember when I was living, we were living in Houston. I was going to Lakewood Church and this minister came and he ministered a powerful prayer on intercession. And I was just sitting there, you know, and I just thought, I mean, I was just honest. I said, God, I don't have that. It just wasn't, you know, a desire in my heart like it needed to be. But I knew that I needed to be an intercessor and to pray for, you know, more than just me and my four and no more. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I knew that. So then, you know what Jesus said? He said, ask. Yeah. He said, and it shall be given to you. Amen? Amen. He said, seek and you'll find. He said, knock and the door shall be opened. So I began to ask God, Lord, put in my heart the desire to pray for others, a desire to intercede for others, a desire, Lord, because I see that I do not have that. And so then, you know, I just kept praying. And then you know what happened? How do you learn how to pray? You just start praying. So one lady and I, she was really my mentor, and we started praying on Monday nights. And so we began to pray, you know, and then God began, he birthed that desire in me to pray. But now we're talking about corporate prayer. We're talking about coming together in one accord and praying, amen, the things that God wants us to pray for. So that's what we're talking about now. So the first thing, you know, we have to be devoted to first and foremost, how many of you know, is our relationship to our Heavenly Father. That's number one. And then, and how are we, can we be devoted to him? Well, you know, we worship him. Amen. I mean, you love to worship our Father. We love to worship him. And, you know, and just even tonight we came together and worship him together. It's powerful. But then we worship him, you know, because Jesus said the Father seeks worshipers. He seeks worshipers. Amen. And then by just spending time with him, we devote ourselves to him. Because how many know you love to be in the presence of the Lord? And you love to talk to him. You love to pray to him. And then you love to listen to hear what he's going to say to us. Amen. We love to hear what the Holy Spirit is going to tell us. And then, you know, and then spending time in the Word of God. It's just wonderful. It's just like, you know, taking a bath, you know, because you're washing yourself with the water of the Word. So that is wonderful. And then we also are devoted to him by obeying his word. You know, because Jesus said, he said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. He said, the one who loves me is the one who obeys my word. But then Jesus went on to say, he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I say? Amen. So, but we're not like that. We're going to obey what he tells us to do. Amen. Praise Lord. But even at that, that's our personal prayer time, our individual prayer time, our individual devotion to him. Amen. But guess what? We still cannot neglect corporate prayer. We still cannot neglect corporate prayer. How many of you know the church was birthed out of corporate prayer? When the people gathered together in the upper room and prayed, amen, the church was birthed. And you know, there were, but how many people were there? About 120. Amen. But then guess how many people saw Jesus after his resurrection? There were about 500. So it's like, where were the other 380? No, we wonder where they were. But so I believe God is telling us that we've got to have an increase in corporate prayer in our church and in the body of Christ. Because, how many of you know, the church in the book of Acts is our model. It is. I mean, you read the book of Acts, you'll see that's what they did. Amen. That's the model for the church today in the book of Acts. And so I just encourage you to go and read again, reread the book of Acts and then see, especially the very beginning. And so the scriptures speak for themselves. They're plain and they're simple. And it shows us what we should do. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read them to you right now. And we're going to listen to what God did and said in the book of Acts. So in Acts 1, verse 12, it says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. All right. Who was there? Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, the zealot, and Judas, the son of James. Then it said, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So there they were, corporately together in one accord. And what were they doing? They were in prayer and supplication. Okay? So there they were, corporately gathered. Then Acts chapter 2, verse 1, we all know that. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord. Everybody say, with one accord. Everybody say, with one accord. In one place. Okay, guess what? They weren't at home praying individually. They were in one accord, gathered together in one place. Amen? All right. Then we move on to Acts chapter 2 down to verse 42. Let's see, what did they do in one accord there? It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Everybody say, and in prayers. Okay, y'all can help me preach this message. It'd be a lot better. Okay, but they were in one accord. And they were breaking bread. They were in prayers. So, I mean, you know, they were praying. Okay. Then in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, move on down. It says, so continuing daily with one accord. Everybody say again, with one accord. All right. Now, this time they were in the temple. They were where? They were in the temple. And breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. I mean, these are some joyful people. I mean, how many joyful people do we have in here tonight? You know, they're joyful. Joyful in the house of God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I mean, you know, we ought to be the most joyous and the happiest and the people in the whole world. Because Jesus is our Lord. Amen. And, you know, how many know he corrects us? He corrects all of us, and he encourages us, and he challenges us. Amen. So praise the Lord. This is just the word. This is not me. Don't look at me. Y'all looking at the scriptures. All right. At the word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So then Acts chapter 4, we go to chapter 4, and it says verse 31. The word says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. So there they are again, corporately praying. They were assembled together. And guess what? With so much power, the place was shaken. Hallelujah. That's what happens when we pray together, guys. When we pray, things happen in the heavenlies. The angels go to work. That's Bill Norton always said that. Go to work. The angels go to work because we're praying as one, making one sound. Amen. And we are praying God's kingdom come and his will be done. Amen. That's what we're doing. Some of us are praying in the English in our known language. Some of us are praying in the spirit. Amen. Paul said he prayed both, and we do the same thing. Amen. But what we're doing is we're getting the work of God done. We're getting God's work done because, you know, I'm just saying, you know, Paul said, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. Woe to me if I don't pray. Woe to us, Don and I, if we don't pray. You're right, Jane. Woe to us if we don't pray. Because God has told us to pray. Pray always with all kinds of prayer. Amen. And Jesus spoke a prayer, but it's in men ought to always pray and not to faint. Don't give up. Amen. Don't lose heart. Your prayers are working. Your prayers are, if you look in Revelation in chapter 5 and verse 8, and you'll see where your prayers are going. Your prayers are going up into heaven. Amen. And they're being kept in bowls. And I'm telling you, God is moving. When you pray, look in the spirit and see what your prayers are doing. And when we pray together in one accord, I'm telling you, then there is a multiplication of power. There's a multiplication of power. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so then it says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then in Acts chapter 5, verse 12, it says, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. So they weren't individually somewhere doing their own thing. They were in one accord. They were praying together. Amen. And, you know, all God is trying to do, he just wants to encourage us to increase our corporate prayer in this in the church. Amen. That's all he's trying to get us to do. And so how many know that's a good thing? I mean, that's what he called us to do. So that's what we're going to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then Acts chapter 12, verse 5, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. By the church. So the church was praying. So when things happen, When Satan begins to move, how many of you know that's what we're going to be doing? We're going to be doing. We're going to be praying. Amen. We're going to be binding the enemy. Amen. Stopping his work. Amen. Because this purpose that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And then he gave us the keys to the kingdom. And he told us whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loose in heaven. Amen. Then he said, again, I said to you, if any two of you agree, how many of you know if it's two, then three is even better. Then four. Amen. Then a multitude of people praying, then God can do more. God can do more. Say that. God can do more. God can do more. The more people that are praying, the more power is released. Amen. The more demonic spirits are bound. So that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to pray. So to pray, whatever we hear, something happening to a brother or a sister, you know, we're going to pray. We're going to pray in one accord, and God is going to answer our prayers. That's one thing I thank God. He is a God who answers prayers. He does. He answers our prayers. If we have faith believing, you know, we're going to receive the answers to our prayers. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we pray in faith, believing that God is moving, that he is doing what he said to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Then Acts chapter 12, then verse 12. This is what it says. Now, this is the scriptures. Amen. This is not anything I made up. You know, it's just like people think they thought that St. Kenneth Hagin wrote Mark 11, 23, because he quoted that scripture so much, you know. He said he wish he did. He had written it. But how many know Jesus wrote it? Amen. God wrote the word. Amen. And so he's telling us and showing us in Acts what the New Testament church did. And, you know, we want to be a New Testament church. Amen. So we're going to follow the example of the church in the book of Acts. All right. In Acts 12 and 12 says, so when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Amen. That's what they were doing. Gathering together, praying. Glory to God. So when the church prays corporately for God's will to be done here on earth as is in heaven, guess what? We say, amen, so be it. So that's what we do. We believe what the word of God says. We believe when we pray, God is answering those prayers. Amen. So, and then guess what? After we come together and we pray together in one accord, then we go out and we do the works of Jesus. Then we go out and we do the works of Jesus. But we come just like we came tonight. You know, now we're getting refreshed. The word is building us up. Amen. And then we'll go out, go to work tomorrow, go wherever you're going to go. And then we're going to do the works of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. So, and then being devoted, this is what it means. Corporate prayer is a consistent, is persistent, and it's a regular part of the church's life and heartbeat. How many of you know prayer? You can't say church without prayer, without having prayer. I was reading about this pastor said they had 677 people that attended their church. He said they had two prayer meetings. He said only 1.4% of the people came to the prayer meeting. And then he compared that. He said, now, if I had only 1.4% of my body in operation, he said, I'd be dead. How many of you know that? 1.4%? That's nothing. You know, just think about it. When it comes to prayer, then people won't come to pray. I'm going to read something that it's called Sins of the Church. But anyway, these were pastors in Georgia. All these concerned pastors and all the people in the church, they came together and it said they were in the fear of the Lord. They have examined the state of the churches in America. And this was number two on the list. It's called the Sins of the Church of America. It says the churches have sinned by failing to pray as commanded and taught and practiced throughout the scriptures. Agonizing, travailing, interceding, prevailing, and unceasing prayer is no longer considered a vital and essential function of the churches. That was one of their findings when it came to prayer in the churches. I'm going to read that again. It says the churches have sinned by failing to pray as commanded and taught and practiced throughout the scriptures. Agonizing, travailing, interceding, prevailing, and unceasing prayer is no longer considered a vital and essential function of the churches. Says the sin of prayerlessness has brought the churches to a state of spiritual deadness, spiritual powerlessness, and spiritual bankruptcy. So, you know, I'm just reporting. This were their findings when this pastor and all these other pastors in Covington, Georgia came together and they examined the state of the churches in America. And can you tell? I mean, be honest, can you tell? You look around. I mean, we've got the promises of God. We've got the word of God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, that's the word. So look at the condition that we're in today. You know, I just like, and it's not enough. You know, it's not enough. There are people praying, yes. But I don't know how many millions of people in the United States. Not a long time ago was 200 million. I think it's more than that now, about 220 million or so. Just think about it. It's not enough people praying. That not enough people of God that are called by his name that are praying. Or did he say he would, what? He will forgive our sin. He will heal our land. But amen. But you know what? We're going to keep on praying. Amen. Those of us, people who are praying, we're going to continue to pray. Amen. And we're going to believe God for more people to pray. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So, first thing I just want to invite you guys to the corporate prayers that we have in this church. Okay. And so the first one we're going to talk about is the corporate prayer of early morning corporate prayer. How many of y'all thank the Lord for early morning corporate prayer in this church? It goes on in this church. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I asked Brother Danny Lonius if he would come up and if he would encourage us to come to early morning prayer. Let's give the Lord a hand for Brother Danny. You know, God has really used him. I mean, in prayer. And so here you go.
Praise God. Last night, my sister McRae told me I had this thing on the timer for 5 minutes. I just tried to look at this. She told me I had 5 minutes.
No, I said
five or six minutes. And Carolyn told me, she said, that's not 5 or 6 hours. So I'll try to rush through this, okay? But what we do, we come here, I open the doors at 4 o'clock. Everybody's invited to come if you want to come. And we start out with everybody kind of gets on their own, you know, and praying. And recently, we've even had Bible studies, which when the Lord speaks to one of us, then we start sharing it with the other, and then it becomes a discussion. And, man, that has been just so fantastic. But at 4:30, my alarm on my phone goes off, and what we do is we gather around in a circle. We started doing it out here in the vestibule this week. We were doing it in here. We just recently started in the vestibule. I've been doing this for about 6 years, and what we pray is the whole armor of God, and it's taking the same thing that's in the prayer manual, praying the word of God. And whenever I started this about 6 years ago, the Holy Spirit said to lead the church, you know, ask everybody that wants to come. And we had several of them that came, and we started praying. And it was Sister Kathy Davis back there. Whenever I started praying it, she started praying it right with me. And then next thing I knew, the rest of them that was in there, they started praying. And we're all saying this very same thing. We don't have it memorized. One of the things that we found out is that if you think you got it memorized, it's not. It's your spirit that's praying. Because when you start trying to think about what you're going to say next, you just all of a sudden your mind goes blank. because it's not of the mind, it's of the spirit. And so whenever we learn that, we learn this too. You have to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And I guarantee you, getting up early that morning, you know, and I don't have to be at work to 7 o'clock. So it's not like I've got to, you know, get up and be here at 4 o'clock and I'm going to leave and go to work at 5 o'clock. I don't go to work to 7 o'clock. But whenever I come here, I make my body a living sacrifice. And the reason why I'm such a big believer in morning prayer. Several years ago, Brother Jerry asked me to do a study, and I showed Sharon this morning. If you've got an iPhone, go to, and you've got a Bible app, and if you got an iPhone, I hope you've got a Bible app. Open it up and go to the search engine on there and type in early in the morning, and then hit search. And what you're going to find is you're going to see hundreds of scriptures where it talks about early in the morning, God speaking to people. And what I found out is that whenever it's early in the morning, when God tells anybody to do anything, instructions or teaching, it's always early in the morning. Now, whenever he talks to them any other time of the day, it's usually because of rebuking them. But whenever in the morning, he gives instruction. But in fact, in the book of Jeremiah, this is mentioned 7 times in the book of Jeremiah. It says, early in the morning, I was there to speak to you, but you wasn't there to hear. Early in the morning, I was there to teach you, but you wasn't there to be taught. Early in the morning, I was there to instruct you, but you wasn't there to be instructed. And whenever I saw that, man, my heart just started bleeding. And I began to think, you know, God, didn't Jesus say, seek ye first the kingdom of God? And he wants our first fruits, not just in our tithes, but in our time. And whenever we give it to God, what I found out, when you draw nigh to God, he draws nigh to you. And there's not a day that goes by that whenever we're praying this prayer that God doesn't speak to me. And I'm going to tell you something. Those of you that's been in my class, the revelation that I've got and that I teach on that class, I didn't learn that in Bible college. I learned it in early morning prayer, getting up and God speaking to me. I've got a journal. I write down what God has speak to me, and I teach it the very next Sunday morning. It all comes with presenting your body as a living sacrifice. And what I found is that what Sister Kathy taught me that day, and whenever the rest of them started, we all started praying the same thing, praying the word. I found out something. We were in one accord. We were all in one accord. And you know, that's the only way you're going to get in one accord, because one thing that we can all agree on is the word of God is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. We may not all agree on what color the robes are going to be that the choir is going to be. We may not all agree what color the carpet needs to be in the church, but we can all agree that the word of God is true. And when you're praying the word, you're in agreement with God. Word, and there is nobody more perfect to be in agreement with than to be in agreement with God. So whenever we come together, I invite you to come with me in the morning. I mean, when that alarm clock goes off, I'm going to tell you something. You know, whenever God created man, he gave us dominion. And the first thing that you're, if you want to take dominion over the earth, you want to take dominion over your problems, your first thing you got to do is take dominion over the earth. And Sister Elaine said, whenever the Bible talks about earth, it's talking about your body. That means that whenever that alarm clock goes off and you feel like you need to sleep a little bit more, you need to tell that body, shut up, body. And you get up, because I'm going to say, I've got an appointment with God. And you know what? If you had an appointment with the doctor, you wouldn't be late. You got an appointment in the morning with God. Don't be late.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. How many of you know Brother Danny is excited about prayer? Amen. And you know what? I'm excited about prayer. And you know what? We all need to be excited about prayer. Amen. Pray. And we're not talking about our personal individual devotion time. We're talking about corporate prayer. Brother Danny was saying in one accord. And then, so that's early morning corporate prayer. And then there is Tuesday evening corporate prayer. So Sister Jane makes us a list. Now this is a list of people that we pray for. We call their names out. People that have health problems, people that have cancer, have various sicknesses and diseases. And we call their names out, and then we pray over them. We pray the word over them. Amen. We call their names out. Even people here in Camden, then we even call out the friends of the people in Victory Church that they've given names to Sister Jane. We call their names out. And then we pray for people that have financial needs. We have one young man that was he had a degree, he had a teaching certificate, but yet and still Satan was holding up his job. And so we invite him, you come and pray. And pray for other people that have financial needs, that need jobs. And you know what? He began to pray. And God gave him a good job. Gave him a good teaching job. You know, and so now, and he is qualified to pray for people that have financial needs. And so then we pray. So come and pray over your loved ones that have illnesses and that have health problems. Then we pray for people's salvation, for their deliverances. We pray for their restoration. Amen. We pray for businesses. People that have businesses, we have their names on the list, and we pray for the success of their businesses. Amen. We pray for that. Then we pray for the Camden Church, the El Dorado Church, the Pine Bluff Church. We pray for the ministries. We pray for all the ministries, the prison ministry. We pray for the children's, the youth ministry, the adult ministries, the prayer ministries. We pray for all the ministries. We pray for over our pastors. Amen. Now that is what we pray about, a list. And so God honors that prayer. He honors that corporate prayer. Amen. And then we have Saturday morning corporate prayer, which is more prophetic prayer. And we pray, that's at 9:30. Now, Brother Danny told you the early morning, you opened the door at 4, Brother Danny? 4. Okay, Tuesday evening, the prayer is from 5:30 to 6:30. And then Saturday morning, the prayer starts at 9:30 and usually over 10:30 or so. That's the devil. But anyway, we pray, and we pray prophetically. We pray over the city of Camden. We pray over Arkansas. We pray for Israel. We pray the will of God as the Spirit of God moves us to pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so that starts at 9:30. And so then, we also have praying in the Spirit. How many of you have been to praying in the Spirit on the second and fourth Monday? We pray in the Spirit. How many of you know there are times we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray? Amen. So God has given us supernatural prayer where we pray in the Spirit. We pray in the Spirit for 1 hour. And then the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and then we can share what the Holy Spirit has given to us. Amen. And that's only twice a month. That is the second Monday and the fourth Monday. And that begins at 5:32, from 5:30 to 6:30. And now we also have church-wide corporate prayer, and we have that, been having that every other month. And so, you know, the most people we've had, we had 96 people here in the church, and then 10 people that weren't here in the church praying. So, I mean, oh, God really moved. And then we've had people to come and pray with us every other month. And this month, Brother Danny Lonis is going to lead that church-wide corporate prayer. Amen? Praise the Lord. So he'll be letting you know, or we'll be letting you know what the date is for that. But that's usually on a Saturday, usually from 5 to 6, from 5 to 6. And so you want to be a part of that. And now we also have 40 days of prayer. Amen. That's citywide and countywide. And, you know, and they're praying it all over the United States. How many of you thank God for this prayer movement? This prayer, let's thank the Lord for the prayer movement that he is stirring up here in the United States. How many, you know, we need prayer. We can look at, see the situation that's going on in the world. And I'm telling you, when things happen, some things are happening. Some things are happening. I remember we were at the prayer conference in January in Texas, and it was prophesied that, remember they had that bombing in Paris, but it was prophesied that we would be having bombings, even more bombings in the United States than they had in over in Europe. So I'm telling you, you know, it's just like Donald said, if Jesus had to pray, what about us? We've got to pray. If the church in Acts had to pray corporately in one accord, what about us? Amen. And so what I'm asking you to do is to make a commitment to one of these corporate prayer teams, one of them, to come and help to pray. God's will. Amen. He told us to pray. And then the church in the book of Acts showed us what happens when we pray in one accord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if you like to make a commitment to prayer, to go to one of these corporate prayer meetings in the morning, on Tuesday, on Saturday, praying in the spirit the second or fourth Monday. And I know we all will be coming to the church-wide corporate prayer. So I'm going to ask you to come to the altar so the Spirit of God can do a work in our hearts. And if you have already been praying, then you want to come and get a refreshing, a recommitment to prayer, then come to the altar. Can we have some music up there? Praise the Lord. So we're going to come and we're going to make a commitment to prayer, to corporate prayer, what we're talking about, to corporate prayer, because we know we ought to be praying. See, and by the Spirit of God, we already know that. So you know what I mean? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We all need to move up in the thing with the things of God. I'm included. See, and the things that I didn't have that. The Holy Spirit had to help me because I knew it was a good thing, but I needed help. Amen. We need help. So, you know, and we have been given a mandate. Prophets have prophesied over us in this church. And the Lord told us what spirits that we are to bind. He told us the spirits that we are to bind. He told us to bind the spirits of poverty, the spirits of witchcraft. He said a hellish mentality of religiosity. He said devilish unbelief. And guess what? Selfishness. That's the S word. Selfishness. And guess what? The Lord told us to attack, attack, attack. And then he also said this area will become blessed. He said he didn't care what whatever anybody said. He said there will come a release in the spirit. There will be a release in the spirit. And when we pray, that's what he said. So let's just pray. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we know, God, we can do nothing on our own. And Lord, we can't even make ourselves pray corporately. We can't even do anything without you. Lord, it's not by our might or our power, but it's by your Spirit. Lord, and we just thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to prick our hearts, to speak to our hearts, move upon our hearts, and show us, help us to make a commitment to corporate prayer, God. Lord, we know we need to pray. Lord, we know, God, that prayer is important. But Lord, we thank you, God, that we will take authority over our flesh. Lord, you told us to crucify our flesh. You told us to mortify the deeds of our flesh. And Lord, so that we can do the work of God. So we can do the works of Jesus. So Lord, we just want to thank you right now. And Lord, as we commit ourselves to prayer, we commit ourselves, Lord. Now, Lord, we need your help. Lord, help us. Holy Spirit, you are our helper. And we thank you right now for helping us, Lord, to get up to come to early morning prayer. Lord, to help us to come to Tuesday prayer, to come to Saturday prayer, or to come to praying in the Spirit, God. Lord, to come to church-wide prayer. Lord, and even to city-wide prayer. God, we thank you right now for the power of prayer. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we know that prayer changes everything. Lord, and you said, Lord, that we ought to pray always. And Lord, we just want to thank you for increasing our prayer life, increasing, Lord, even our personal prayer life, and increasing, Lord, our corporate prayer life. So God, when the church prayed, Lord, things happened. Demons moved and they fled. They ran in terror. And Lord, then there were signs and wonders and miracles. So Holy Spirit, we thank you right now. Lord, we lift our hands and we receive right now. We receive your help. We receive everything, God, from you, Lord. And we just want to thank you. And we just want to praise you. And we want to give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, let's thank the Lord. Lord, for the power of prayer. Thank you for corporate prayer. Thank you for more prayer in this church, God. More prayer, God, everywhere we go, Lord. We're not just going to be limited to the church, Lord. We're going to go outside the church. And God, we thank you and we give you praise and we give you glory and we give you honor in Jesus' name. Now let's shout to the Lord. Woo! Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are worthy. You are worthy, 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 worthy are you to be praised and thanked and adored. We thank you right now, Lord. Thank you for this commitment in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Glory to God. Now you're dismissed.